This is going to be an overview of the book of Joel. And this is one of my favorite books in the Bible. It's just three chapters, but it's just loaded with great stuff. Acts 2:16 shows you that Joel himself is the author of the book of Joel. In Acts 2:16 it says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." And then verses 17 through 21 in Acts chapter 2 will match Joel 2:28 through 32, showing you that Joel is the author of the book of Joel. Now, Joel means Jehovah is my God, and he is the son of Pethuel. Pethuel means sincerity of God. The book of Joel has three chapters, 73 verses, and around 2,034 words. Joel was a prophet of Judah and Benjamin, and he is sent against a sinful Judah before Assyria and a Babylon were a threat. And the main theme of the book of Joel is the day of the Lord, the glorious return of Jesus Christ in the millennium. And you see the phrase day of the Lord five times in the book. But a little simple breakdown, in chapter 1, you'll see the destruction at the second coming. You see the future tribulation prophesied with a locust plague. You see an invasion of the promised land by Gentile world powers. And in chapter 2, you got a picture of the battle of Armageddon that takes place at the second coming. You see the Lord's army, and you also see two other armies. In chapter 3, you see events of the day of the Lord. You see the Lord restoring Jerusalem. You see the second coming. You see judgment of the nations and the millennium. You see two things in the book of Joel. Joel speaks of historical destruction, a destruction that took place back then. But then Joel also speaks of prophetic destruction and deliverance, a destruction that's yet to come. And the Old Testament minor prophets are not just history, as many people think, but they're also prophecy. Chapter 1, let's look at chapter 1. It warns of total destruction at the second coming. It talks about the day of the Lord. In verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel." So the word of the Lord has also came to you in the form of a King James Bible. You may not have dreams and visions because God doesn't operate that way anymore, but you have the Bible. The word of the Lord has came to you just like it did to Joel. In chapter 1 and verse 4, it begins to show you the palmer worm and locust plague, which pictures the plague of locusts in Revelation chapter 9. And then Joel 1:15 says, "Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come." So the day of the Lord has to do primarily with the second coming of Jesus Christ, but also covers the 1,000-year reign, because a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. Now verse 19, it says, "O Lord, to thee will I cry, for the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and the flame hath burned all the trees of the field." And this is obviously the second coming. Prophetically referring to the second coming. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God." That's what's going to happen when Jesus Christ comes back on a white horse. The context in Joel chapter 2 is the day of the Lord, of course. Joel 2:1, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand." So the day of the Lord primarily has to do with the second coming. And this chapter describes the saints coming back with the Lord at the second coming. Notice he calls it an army of people. In Joel 2:2, it says, "A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not ever been the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations." So notice this day is negative for the lost world. It's darkness, it's gloominess, it's thick darkness, and there has never been the like. It's a day of fire that devours, according to verse 3. it's going to go off like an atomic blast in their face. As it says in verse 6, before their face the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. And the people chasing them are the saints in glorified bodies. In Joel 2:7, it says, they shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Faster than the mighty men of Genesis 6. Stronger than David's mighty men who could kill hundreds at once. That's you in your glorified body. Joel 2:8 describes your glorified body even more. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk everyone in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They're like supermen. If anything, the knife would bend before it punctures your glorified body. Joel 2:10, the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Notice this matches Matthew 24 and the Lord's return. And after giving terrifying details on the second coming, Joel gives you an invitation. In Joel 2:12, it says, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. If you have any sense at all, then those verses on the second coming should terrify you if you're not saved. If you somehow miraculously make it through all the judgments of the tribulation to the second coming as a lost person, you will see Jesus Christ coming at you with eyes as a flame of fire and a sharp two-edged sword that cuts and burns, and you're going to see supernatural horses that stomp the blood out of the body of the lost people on this world. That is, if you even make it to that point. And if you make it through the judgment of the tribulation and don't die of natural causes before that, any way you look at it, you're going to meet God, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. But after this the judgment. And you don't want to meet him unprepared. Chapter 3 explains why everyone wants to get together, even when they are alone due to quarantine. You see the phrase, alone together, or we are all in this together, whatever. Ain't that the biggest bunch of bull you ever heard? Nobody in this world cares about you. They're not in this with you. They only care about themselves. If they were starving to death, they would eat you before they would die. But they're all about getting people together. The Antichrist will want you in a one-world government and religion, and then he will ditch the Babylon religion and have everybody just worship him. It's all about him. That's because man is all about himself. Just because the devil's all about himself. He's not going to care about anyone but him. But he's going to get everybody together. And chapter 3 explains why the Lord allows that to happen. It's so he can kill them all faster. If the nations get together and come at him together, then he can just wipe them all out at once. I mean, he could anyway. But you see, the Lord does things for dramatic effect. Joel 3:2 says, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And he says in verse 11, assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Joel 3:14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. He's going to kill and he's going to judge. There's going to be a judgment of the nations at this time. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats, as you see in Matthew 25. And then in Joel 3:15 and 16, further proving that this is the coming of the Lord, it says, the sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining, matching Matthew 24. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall quake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. He's going to kill all the God-haters. He's going to restore Jerusalem. All Israel shall be saved. God's not done with Israel. But what you have here is not just outdated. It's not just history. It's prophecy. So I hope that gets you interested in studying the book of Joel. I did a study on all three chapters of the book of Joel. If you're interested in going back and watching those three studies and just read it for yourself and get familiar with this book.